1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
You heard about this radio station in upstate New York? They had a riot or some kind of a listener uprising when they said that Britney Spears was going to be there, and turned out that Britney Spears didn't show up. Actually, it was a fake Britney Spears, right? And, of course, the rationale for something like that is, oh, we're just goofing. We're just doing a goof. Well, what do you mean you're doing a goof? Well, we said everybody, hey, come on out. Britney Spears is here. And we had a Britney Spears lookalike. And we had security. But it wasn't Britney Spears? No. What's funny about that? What do you mean what's funny? That's fantastic. We had a girl, and she looked like Britney Spears. It's funny to you guys. In other words, this was some big gag so that the 40 or 50 people who work at the radio station could have themselves a good time. No, man, can you believe how stupid those people... I always get this. People come up to me and they go, man, I can't believe how stupid some of those people are to call your show. Stupid? I bet you were one of the schmucks that called my show early on, and then you found out, and now you think everybody else is done. You know, when it comes to our show, everybody's stupid at least once. Everybody is a dumbass at least once with this show, because on this show, I do the voices of different characters, and people think they're real, and they call in. I said, well, you know, I suppose you could characterize them that way, but we do a kind of shtick. Some of the material that we use sounds almost credible, but in point of fact, if you're really listening, it's absurd. Am I right? I mean, we got a guy on who says that he helps people lose weight by pulling his pants down at McDonald's and pointing to his fat ass, and that really puts people off of their food, and that way they lose weight. Now, does that jeopardize the public safety in any way, the dissemination of information like that? No, it doesn't jeopardize the public safety. Is it a violation of any law disseminating information that says there's a guy maybe going into McDonald's, dropping his pants and showing his fat? No, it doesn't violate any law. So basically what it demands is that the listener listen very carefully and decide for themselves whether this is true or not. It doesn't affect anything else. When I say I got Britney Spears coming to this radio station, and she'll be here at 4 o'clock or at 8 o'clock, what's funny about that? I'd believe it. Look, let me tell you, I've been doing this for 10 years, okay? I think I got a fairly good bullcrap detector going, but somebody says to me, yeah, like my little girl came to me and said, can we go see Britney Spears? Why? She's going to be over this radio station. Okay, yeah, all right. And then I get over there, I find out that it isn't Britney Spears, and there's like five disc jockeys laughing their asses off. Okay, great. I mean, I suppose I could say your mama just got run over by a steamroller. You guys think that's funny, too?
Well, that's not very funny. I mean, it's cool.
Well, what are you guys telling me Britney Spears is going to be at your radio station, and she ain't here, and then you got all these security guards? There's so many people in this business who ought to get out of it. I can't even begin. I mean, it would be miles. The list would be miles long. So many people that ought to do something else for a living. Well, now, here's something that happened recently, I guess on April the 1st, and this is out of Kansas City. And this is fantastic. This is an example, I think, of a pretty good bit that a radio station did. They had their morning show, this station in Kansas City, their morning show went on the air and said that there are a naturally occurring substance, dihydrogen monoxide, is in the water supply, and this naturally occurring substance, dihydrogen monoxide, can cause increased urination, profuse sweating, and the wrinkling of hands and feet. However, boiling the water long enough will get rid of the substance. Now, do you know what dihydrogen monoxide is? It's water. Now, that's funny. That's funny. Because people were calling and panicking, thinking the city's water supply had been polluted. There's not one thing those guys went on the air and said that wasn't true. Now, let me tell you the upshot of this. The city of Kansas City is threatening to sue the radio station. Is it the Kansas City? I think. They're threatening to sue the radio station. Now, I got to tell you, I'm with anybody that wants to sue over a station saying Britney Spears is going to be there, and she doesn't show up, and like 1,000 people are there, and all hell breaks loose and somebody gets hurt. I got no problem with that. That's my personal opinion. But this was pretty cute. telling people that the city's water supply was polluted with, well, maybe they didn't use the word pollute. I don't want to speak for them, because if you say polluted, then you're inferring there's a poison. You can say that it is treated with or contains dihydrogen monoxide that causes increased urination, profuse sweating, and wrinkling of the hand. That's funny. You want to know what's funny about that? You ask, what's funny about that, Phil? What's the difference between that and this Britney Spears bit? I'll tell you what's funny about it. Because anybody can look up the information and figure out it's water. Oh, really? Why should we have to look the information up? You guys have to inform us. Oh, no, we don't. No, we don't. Where'd you ever hear that we got to inform you? Where'd you get that fairy tale from? We don't have to inform you of Jack. I cannot disseminate information that will cause a public panic. That's against the law. I can't disseminate information that potentially fomates a dangerous situation. That's against the law. I can't disseminate untrue things that will create a riot scene. That's against the law. But there's nothing that says I can't come out and say, there's stuff in the water supply and it turns out to be water because you're too dumb to fit. And I don't mean you, but there's some dumbass out there didn't want to take the time to look it up in a book, and he instead picks up the phone and calls the city of Kansas City, complains about the fact the radio station said dihydrogen monoxide, and I don't know what that is. Well, it's water. Well, I'm going to sue anyway. Why are you suing, sir? Because they made me feel afraid. They made you feel afraid? How did they make you? Because they used a big word I didn't know the meaning of. Oh, so now we're suing because we're too stupid to know the meaning of words. So if anybody's interested, because I've been doing this, like I say, a long time, we are probably the finest, highest practitioner of the art of this kind of put-on radio shtick. And if anybody wanted me to go to Kansas City and testify on behalf of this radio station, I'd be happy to go. I could go as an expert witness. You know how to get these expert witnesses? Who are they going to get an expert witness on doing radio theater like this? Me. So if I'm the lawyer for this radio station, I hire Phil Hendry, and of course I will need support staff, Craig Taylor, Chris Pelton, and Janice Ngaro, and we get a free weekend in Kansas City. And I fly out and I provide my expert testimony as to how this kind of radio shtick is supposed to be done. And I would be happy to lend my voice in support of this station, because that's a funny little thing to do. It's not, they did it for their April Fools. It's not dangerous. They didn't say that there were incoming missiles from Russia. They didn't say anything about anybody being someplace that they weren't. They simply said that there was dihydrogen monoxide. I thought it was really funny reading the story. Listen to what, who's this guy? Gerald Robnett. The town is Olaf. Is that how you pronounce this town in Missouri? Gerald Robnett, who's the Olaf Superintendent of Water Protection, said his department received calls from 150 customers. City officials said that about 30 residents called 911, that others questioned the city's main switchboard operator for guidance. It's a terrorist act as far as I'm concerned, Robnett said. It's like going to the airport and shouting that you have a gun. It's stupidity. No, the stupidity is on the part of you, Mr. Robnett. The stupidity is all yours and your city's. Robnett said since September 11th attacks in the United States, the city had spent a great deal of time and money adding cameras, sensors, and employees to ensure the safety of the water in Olaf. Well, guess what? Your water's safe. Now, the program director of this radio station said, we pulled the plug as soon as we realized there was a problem. Now, you ask yourself, I understand. I guess the guy doesn't want any heat. He wants to keep his job. But why? He didn't have to do that. He did not have to do that. There's nothing wrong with that bit. We didn't intend for any of this, said the program director. We thought a couple of people would go to work without a shower. He said the station got calls from some listeners who said they didn't think it was funny, but others said, hey, it's pretty funny. He said there were more people who thought it was funny. The morning show announced the contamination at 6:30 and revealed the prank about 8 a.m. Here's what's going on. I think we've entered a great time, because now we've basically said, you're responsible for informing yourself. We aren't. And that's too bad if you don't get the information right away at the drop of a hat, as soon as you get out of bed and you flip on a radio and we're giving you everything you need to know. You're just going to have to get up off your ass, go over to the dictionary and look up dihydrogen monoxide. Okay? All right. Now, coming up next, how to perform oral sex. No, never mind. 1-800-449. I'm kidding. The public probably would have, they would have been happier than that wacky format switch gag. Yeah, now that's really something on target. We're changing formats, And, you know, the wacky format switch April Fool gag isn't so funny if you're switching to Spanish. Then it becomes, like, violent. You know, you can go to country and people are upset. But if you say you're switching to Spanish, oh, man. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Anything else you need to know? You just ask me. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, pick up a copy of our CD. 877-616-7445. And you can hear other bits that we've done down through the last year. That's our Best of the 2001 CD. It's called Bring It. But if you go to our website, you can also pick up copies of our CD from 2099, 98, 97, all the way on back. Here's Pat on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
Hey, I just want to make a quick comment on the radio station. I think that's hilarious. But, you know, think about what would happen if H.G. Wells put on something like the War of the Worlds Now.
If he did what?
If he put the War of the Worlds on.
Who?
H.G. Wells.
Oh, he's the guy that wrote it. You mean Orson Welles?
Orson Welles,
yeah.
That's it. I mean, can you imagine what would happen to him? He'd be crucified.
No. No,
well,
why?
Maybe if he made it, like, you know, instead of aliens, Canadians or something.
Well, see, here's the thing. You got to disclaim. The law says you have to disclaim, which means you have to say this is a dramatization. And the fact of the matter is that's exactly what Orson Welles did back when he did War of the Worlds. He said this is a dramatization, but the dummies back then didn't get it. Now, this is a whole different generation. It's more sophisticated, I suppose, quote-unquote, than the listeners were in 38, 39, because people use the media a lot more actively now, so I don't think you could go on the air and say that there's Martians landing. Canadians?
That might be pushing it.
Okay, Pat, bye. I appreciate the effort. 1-800-449-8686. Matt, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil, how you doing?
Fine.
Hey, I just want to let you know the name of that town is Olathe.
Oh, okay.
And they are... consider themselves, that's the snooty section of Kansas City. They consider themselves smarter than anybody else, richer than anybody else. So it's just, I love it. You know, I've been from Missouri. We hate Kansas big rivalry there. So it's just great that these idiots in Olathe are acting like idiots.
Well, you know, and they're gonna take the public's money and they're going to sue this radio station.
Well, that's a typical Olathe move. I mean, they are just...
They're known for their stupidity. No, they're known for their dough. They're smart, but they're rich. They're dumb, but they're rich. Is that it?
They're dumb, rich.
Dumb and rich.
They have their noses in the air. Oh,
oh yeah?
We're talking...
What other towns I've lived in? You know who else is kind of dumb and rich? The people in Minneapolis. And, everywhere you go, there's some real dumb, rich people. My neck of the woods, a lot of dumb, rich people. Thank you very much for your call. Olathe, huh? Oh, wait a second. I read a book about a woman that set fire to her house. I think it took place in Olathe. She set fire to her house, and she killed, like, her kids, and she thought she was, I don't know, lighting a cigarette. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't bright, whatever it was. Well, you know, it's easy for us to sort of look down our snoots at some of these people because we don't do things dumb, do we? Hey, man, I've been stupid. I just don't want to go around suing people for being stupid. And I've been sued. I don't like it. It doesn't feel good. Takes time out of my life. Takes time away from the things that I like to do. You know, you got to deal with people. I've been sued. I told the story, but I don't really tire of telling it because, you know, the guy that sued me is such a scumbag. I can't even... Well, let me just say that I was sued by a professional athlete for something I'd said about him. And you know something? It started out, he provoked it, and I simply responded. But somehow it got turned around on me. And here's the reason why I'm not a big fan of sports writers, because I never saw a group of guys wet themselves so quick and look for cover like sports writers, when I could really have used somebody to kind of jump on my side of things. Every last one of these guys, to a man, rallied round this athlete, didn't even begin to understand what it was that I did for a living. These are sports writers, so I guess they shouldn't have to. They just sort of got behind the athlete because they dig what he's doing, and they have to interview him every day in the locker room, and they have to keep him on their side so that they can have access to that story. And I'm just, what am I? I'm just a scumbag who works on the radio, and half of those guys wish they had my job anyway, but they have to work for a newspaper, right? And there's another thing. There's a rivalry between newspapers and radio. And believe me, it is a rivalry between newspapers and radio, because newspapers don't have any rivalry with television anymore. I mean, television is blown by them. So now you've got guys that write columns in newspapers who wish they had talk shows. And why is that? Because the talk show host has taken over for the columnist. The columnist used to be the guy with all the power in this country in terms of the media. Nobody reads newspaper columnists anymore. Everybody listens to talk show hosts, big fat mouths like me running my yap. And I don't know any more about what I'm talking about than Walter Winchell did when he was banging out that crap that he wrote, whatever it was. So the last thing I'm going to get is any support from some guy writing for a newspaper. When he's a sports writer, I should say. Because I've gotten some nice people writing stuff about this show. Anyway, so here I am. I do this bit that, in my opinion, was provoked by this guy in the first place. I get sued. I don't get one guy from the local press in the city that I was working in call me up and say, "What was the bit about, Phil?" What would nobody called my lawyer? Nothing. All they did was do what they do, and that is sort of stroke the feathers of this pro athlete. And I got a real noseful at that point in my life. I got a real noseful of what the culture around the professional athlete represents, and the kinds of people that feed it, and what the athletes think of themselves, and the fantasy land that they live in. And man, it smelled like dung. It smelled like just refried turds. It was not a pleasant thing. And I was vilified, and I was accused of destroying a home, and all kinds of things that were not fair, weren't accurate. But who cares about what Phil Hendry's got to say? After all, I went after some big shot who plays in the world of professional sports. That's why. And I fully admit it's personal. I got a personal thing against those guys. I do. And it's probably irrational. It's probably very irrational. But it took like 3-4 years out of my life. I was talking to lawyers every other day. I had to get deposed. I was physically threatened. I was threatened with physical violence. So to this day, if you bring up professional athlete to me, other than what they do on the field, if you want to talk to me about their lives, about their charities, I think they're all scumbags, but I understand. It's a personal thing. It's just me. I don't think they're worth talking about. Of course, now I've spent 20 minutes talking about them. But at least I'm, running it down the way I want to run it down. I don't think any of them got anything interesting to say. I don't think any of them have any kind of lives that are interesting. I don't think any of them have any kind of political points of view that I want to hear. I don't think any of them have any jokes that they got to tell that I think are going to be funny. I wouldn't associate with any of them. I would not sit down and break bread with any scumbag that plays any professional sport in this country. Now, that's just a matter of principle coming from a very irrational guy, Phil Hendry. And he may be a very nice guy, but on principle, I won't sit down and break bread with any of them. And we tried to sort of bridge this problem by encouraging this individual to join me in a charity that I was supporting so that the two of us could, put money in. No, he was hell-bent because, this guy plays pro sports. I'm just a guy, running my big fat mouth on the radio. He doesn't get to get criticized at all. He's a cat that he goes out, he can crap all over people. He goes home, and because he's, weighs 300 pounds and is 6'9" or whatever, he gets to do what he gets to do. Well, guess what? I took it personally, and I talk about it occasionally, and I'm probably irrational, and I probably need a doctor, but I'm going to talk about it. Hey, who else but me? All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. What was I talking about before I went off onto that? I don't even remember. It was a lot more fun talking about the what? Oh, the radio station promo. Oh, to hell with that. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Bill Hendry Show is back.
I would like to say at this time my associate producer, Chris Pelton, is mentally disturbed. And if we could get an ambulance over here, we'd appreciate it. Some Peraldehyde, Thorazine, a strap-down gurney, because Pelton needs help. Pelton needs help. I'm only kidding. I don't want an ambulance. Always say I'm only kidding and everything's great. You know, your mother is, I'm only kidding. This month's Maxim Deadly Moves. Here are 100 women. Rank your five biggest sex mistakes. Here are the five biggest mistakes we make, guys, when it comes to our bedroom technique. Changing speeds fast. When you're in the groove of sex, don't spring a sudden gear shift on us, says Lynn, 27. The python tongue oral action. Guys don't realize that it's, like, soft down there, says Maria, 26. Get out of here. And then I can't get into this stuff, obviously, because it's graphic. But here's the thing. If you guys really want to know what the best technique might be in terms of lovemaking, rent yourself about a 20, 30 porn tapes. And just do a marathon all weekend long, and you will come out the end of that, well, with a sore hand. But you'll also have the knowledge, you'll have a sprained wrist, but you'll also have the knowledge of a thousand lifetimes. May we recommend the Caught from Behind series. And, of course, anything with Jenna Jameson.
Thank you.
All right, here is Ryan on the Phil Hendry Show. Ryan?
Yeah, Mr. Hendry?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was wondering, I just bought a backstage pass about a week ago.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed that there is not a Roland Schwinn link on the website.
There should be under miscellaneous.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you look under the search engine, you will see a variety of characters that are listed alphabetically. Now, Craig is accessing the site right now, but there should be, under miscellaneous, they'll have a variety of the old Roland Schwinn bits.
Okay, because I just can't get enough of that Fat Pride stuff.
Yeah, that's some old stuff, too, man.
Yeah, and I love how you're always, will you please quit eating?
Yeah. Let's do some more Roland Schwinn stuff. Just that whole thing, the way is, you know, his mouth is like full of cream cheese. He's freaking.
Yeah.
Do you mind swallowing, sir? Forgive me. I'm having just a snack while I'm speaking with you, Mr. Hendry.
he just can't stop eating.
Yeah. Just put it down, man. But the guy's whole philosophy is I'm not going to be allowed. I'm not going to be made to feel ashamed that I like to eat.
Yeah. No fat guilt.
You got it, brother.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, Ryan. I also wanted to tell you
that the
Mormon community here in Salt Lake City is 100% behind you.
You know what? We got a great audience in Salt Lake. I really appreciate it. And people say to me, how's that possible with all those Mormons? I said, what makes Mormons and Phil Hendry mutually exclusive? I don't, you know, it's fine. It's a good city. It's an all-American town.
Yeah.
Cool, brother. And the Catholics are down with me in L.A.
Yeah, beautiful thing.
I think I got the Catholics in L.A. I got the Mormons in Salt Lake. I think we got a few of the Jews and Catholics down in Miami. I think we've got the Baptists are lining up solidly behind us there in Atlanta. We're moving.
Yeah.
Okay, man. Thank you very much for your call.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, I remember we got the Catholic Diocese was upset. Well, they're back 100%. They're behind us now in L.A. And down in Miami, of course, we've always had our very fine Jewish contingent. And, of course, in Portland, the Swahilis are very, I'm joking. Why am I joking? What is it? Is that a religion or a language? I don't know. It's a language. Thank you. Of course, in Seattle, all of our Muslim friends. And, of course, in Green Bay, the African-American population solidly with us. Here is Sam. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, Sam.
Hey, Phil.
How are you?
It's a pleasure. Hey, I just wanted to ask you about when you're going to do...
Comb-over boy has become so, like, irrelevant. We don't do any comb-over boy bits anymore. He's just not very relevant to anything. It's just kind of... It's boring. You know, there's such a thing as shooting fish in a barrel. There's such a thing as just blasting away on a sitting duck. Just taking a sledgehammer to an anthill. What's the point? So the comb-over boy bits. And you know what? After you do the voice like this, I mean, what else is there to do other than talk about what? You know, your sprained wrist. 1-800-449-8686. Ben, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good, sir.
I got a backstage pass to your website, and boy, you're kind of out of shape, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I think I indicate that in my Fiji photographs. Are you like a personal trainer or something?
No, I'm not. I'm actually trying to get in shape myself.
I got to tell you something, man. This weekend, I busted out some old videotape. My wife and kids are gone. Not this weekend, this past week. My wife and kids are gone because it was spring break, and so she took the kids to see their grandma and grandpa. And anyway, I got into some old tapes that I had videos of myself. And there was one that I was at a baby shower for a friend of mine. I couldn't believe it. I was ripped. I had arms. Because I remember I used to lift weights. And it wasn't even me. This is Phil Hendry at 190 pounds. And it kind of was depressing. But I said, you know what? I can get back to that size if I stop eating for 4 years. You know? And so I told my wife, and this is my wife's response. Oh, well, that was when you were much younger. Oh, I see. So I can't get skinny again. Thank you very much for that encouragement. That's great, huh?
Well, I was hoping you could give me some pointers on
on losing weight. On losing weight? Yeah, do Weight Watchers. Don't go to the meeting. Just find that book. Find that point book. Don't go to the freaking meetings. My wife went to the meetings, and I just stole her material, and I didn't steal it. She gave it to me with full acquiescence. And I just worked on their little books.
I might have to try that.
Yeah, man, I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't hungry. You just like, instead of drinking cranberry juice and milk, which is a bunch of points, you just drink water, but you can have as much, you know, you don't get hungry, is all I can describe to you. But then the other thing you got to do is you got to exercise. You got to do some kind of cardiovascular. I was doing a bike and I was running. If you do that, I lost 5 pounds a week. I lost
really?
40 pounds in whatever it was, 3 months, 3-4 months.
Well, Phil, I just got one of those cable scramblers, and I get pretty much all the porn I want. So
here's what you should do. Yeah, either that or use that cable scrambler and watch all the porn and eat large cartons of ice cream and just wait for them to cut you out of your house using the jaws of life. But thanks for calling.
Sure.
Okay, well, great. I could tell that guy wasn't serious about losing weight. Yeah, well, I just got all the porn I want. All right, then I tell you what you do. Sit there, eat as much as you can, and let them use a forklift to cave in one wall of your house so they can bring you out someday. I mean, this is it. This is it. You imagine them caving in a wall of your house to bring you out. That's my goal. Or as Marlon Brando said in Apocalypse Now, that's my dream. That's my nightmare. To be brought out of my house after having a wall caved in. Hey, Marlon Brando may wind up that way. And I realize tons and tons and tons, if you'll pardon the expression, of fat jokes have been done about Marlon Brando. But come on. He's an easy target. He's a wide target. Here is Dave on the Phil Hendry Show. Dave, go ahead.
Phil, thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
Yeah, listen, I was one of the dumbasses you were talking about that didn't get your show 4 months ago. And now I got it, and I just sit around and laugh. I think it's great.
Thanks.
But I know you do a lot of bits and stuff like that, but I was just wondering, you were talking to a guy 2 or 3 nights ago, I can't remember, you're telling about how much you make a year. You said you made about $36,000.
Yes, sir, about $36,500.
That is a ripoff. I don't know who your station manager is.
I've got $5,000 annual raises built in. So at the end of my deal, which is up next year, I will be at 40 grand.
Well, it's not bad, but what I'm trying to say, I'm a professional entertainer. You're talking about people that want to get out of the business and radio. I'm 42 years old. I play top 40 in a band 6 nights a week. I want to get the hell out. I can't hear. I got vocal nodes. I want to go. I'm on stage in 17 minutes out here at a beautiful island resort, and I still hate it. But when I don't feel half as creative as you are, and I make more money. And I just think
radio. Well, you're very kind. Well, I appreciate it. You make more money? How much do you make a year? If you don't mind me asking, I realize it's not a... I shouldn't ask that. Nah, forget it. You don't have to tell me. I do the gig, but I do have... I got an agent who... I got to fire him. His name's Dick Featherstone, and I'm saying that on the air now, and I shouldn't, but this guy is the biggest turd. He takes, the problem is he's got a 40% cut on my annual salary. But I tell you what, I got offered a gig right out here at the Santa Monica Pier. They are looking for a carnival barker. And I know at the end of my deal, I can take a big step up. I can do the big bump up, probably get the 45, 50 G's a year announcing the Elephant Man rolling in and, you know, doing some of those House of Mirror things. You know, I can do the freak show. Let's see, I get paid 10 grand for the freak show. And also, if I use the organ grinder thing, if I grind the organ with the monkey, they'll give me another benefit, you know, like another 10 G's. So I'm solid. Here is Brenda. Hi, Brenda. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Good, love Brenda. Thank you very much.
I'm calling about that Britney Spears incident.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're from New York. Are you around that area?
Yeah, I'm really close, and I was following it in the paper and stuff. And I just think it's crazy. This husband, I mean, I feel really bad that the woman died and whatever, but the husband's suing for something absurd.
Well, let me get people going here, because the lady apparently fell and bumped her head at the mob scene, correct?
Yeah. Well, and, mob scene, it was like maybe 100 people.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah. I've
misinformed the public already. Okay.
Well, from what I know about it, they were like playing a fake interview and making people think that she was there.
Where is this? What town is this in?
Around Binghamton, New York.
Okay. Well, see, here's, I think that any time you try to create a reality to fool a segment of the audience, you need to be a little bit responsible in terms of public safety. And there's also a law that says you may not endanger the public safety with any prank or any stunt or any broadcast that you create.
Yeah,
now, I'm not saying yeah?
It was a publicity stunt, maybe not a great one, but, I mean, what if she was really there? You know,
if she had really been there,
okay for the woman to have gotten hurt?
Absolutely. You know what would have happened if she'd really been there? They'd still sue.
And he's suing for something like crazy, like $1 billion or something. Like, when are people just going to take personal responsibility?
Yeah, but Brenda, this is what I'm telling you. What was irresponsible about that? The lady heard that Britney Spears was going to be someplace, so she went. Believe me, I've been doing this kind of radio shtick for 10 years. If I heard that Britney Spears was going to be someplace, well, I wouldn't go because I don't care. But, I mean, let's say that I wanted to go. I would go. Let's say my daughter said to me, will you take me to see Britney Spears because I heard she's at the local radio station? Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess she tripped and she fell, and it could have happened anywhere. It could have happened at the supermarket.
How do you know it was the result of her own personal incompetence? How do you know it wasn't the result of this so-called security guard group pushing the crowd back?
That I don't know.
Yeah, see, and I believe that that is what is being contended, that she fell as the result of some activity or action taken by employees or agents or subcontractors of the radio station in pursuing this stunt. They pushed the crowd to make it seem as if this was really Britney Spears, and this lady was pushed, she fell. I don't know if this happened. I'm saying this is what they contend.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but in my head, I just see like 100...
Did you think Britney Spears was there? You went down, didn't you, Brenda?
No, well, okay. No. I would have raced right down there.
Is this Britney Spears calling now?
No.
It is. All right, thanks for calling, Britney. Okay. I got to run. No, thanks. I said the a-hole word. Let me repeat.
So here are these a-holes that think that I'm at a place. It wasn't me.
Oh, okay. It wasn't you.
Nuh-uh.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Aren't you just busted up about her life and all the things that go on in it, whether this Justin Timberwolf and... She can't have sex, or what is the problem she has now?
I didn't know.
Ms. Spears, were you at this radio station?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you weren't?
It was a gag. Why can't people lighten up and just have a fun time and everything?
Well, the fact is, they said you were there.
Well, it's not my fault. It's a radio station. Some dumbasses. I'm not dumbass. Told them go out.
Ms. Spears, you understand? You know, you're sounding very masculine.
Really?
Yeah. I just think it's wrong for them to say that you were there.
Well, I didn't know. I'm trying to have a career, and Justin and I, even though he's a homosexual, I'm teaching him things. Everything will be fine.
Does he hate women?
Yes, he does. He beat my mother to death with a shoe. He beat my mother to death with her own high heel. But I think that his sexuality is not as twisted as a lot of people think.
All right, well, thank you very much. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Here's something we were talking about yesterday. You know that show Fear Factor, which is fine, and it's a great show, but they say something at the beginning. They say, confront your fears. And they had a show where people were eating, and I'm being honest, and I forgive me if this is gross, because it's gross to me. People were eating pig anus. Am I right or am I wrong? What was it, Chris? It was pig uterus? No, it was anus. No. They specifically called it that. Now, I didn't have a fear of pig anus until you brought it up. What do you mean, confront my fears? Don't you have a fear of pig anus? Hey, dude, I got to fear a lot of stuff like that, but it's not a phobia. It's called good mental health. What do you mean, confront my fears? Mr. Hendry, confront your fears. Spend a weekend with, you know, with one of the village people. Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. Yeah, have a guy perform oral sex on me. Yes. What are you afraid of? What am I afraid of? You afraid of falling in love and becoming gay? No, man, I don't do that. It's the most ridiculously contrived premise that I've ever heard in my life. That's the one thing you got to keep your eye out for. No matter what, no matter how entertaining, don't ever let anybody tell you that this is a reflection of life. It's a contrivance to create entertainment. You know, but I'm telling you, there are people that, hey, Fear Factor's really cool. Why is that? Because it really gets to what people are afraid of. Oh, really? Okay. So in other words, if I don't want to have sex with another guy, I must have some unnatural phobia. Yeah. Oh, well. I see. Yeah, that's what Fear Factor teaches us. Oh, okay. Well, great. So would you mind bending over and dropping your pants? And I'll start with you. I know. I tell you what. You know what I'll do, Fear Factor? What's that, Mr. Hendry? Are you going to confront your fears? Yeah, if you let me have sex with one of the producers of this show, and he's the recipient of my confronting my fears. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.